Hello, everyone. This is the Pixelated Sausage Podcast, episode 291 for the week of Wednesday, April May 18th, 2016. I am your host, Mark Huznes. This site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com. Y'all already know that, probably. And if you want to support the show and the other shows and everything else that goes on the site, of course, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs. Anyway, like I will have said later on in this episode, I was expecting to get Doom in the mail today, even though I got a GameFly package yesterday. And what did I get not that long ago? I got my copy of Doom, and I played a smidgen of it. And I got it for the Xbox One. It's a lot of fun. It is basically good old-fashioned Doom for the new age. And it looks great. It runs really well. The only problem is the load times are horrible. If you want to jump into multiplayer, you have to exit out of... You don't exit out of it. It does it through the menu. But you quit the single player, and then you load the multiplayer, which takes, I don't know, 30 seconds. All these loadings take about 30 seconds, maybe longer. If you want to do this, I think, is it called Snapback, Snapmap, those user-created levels and all that, you have to then quit out of either the multiplayer or the single player and load that. And then if you want to go back to single player, quit out, load that. That's annoying. Loading the actual games takes a bit of time. And it kind of, it just gets really annoying because nobody likes load times. And I'm sure if you're playing on a PC and you have a fancy SSD in there, you aren't really having any of those issues. But on the old console, at least Xbox One, the load times can be a bit annoying, even though I've only played maybe an hour. I dabbled in some of the snap maps. I hope I'm saying that right. And they were pretty good. They weren't too bad. I played a tower defense one, which was fine. It was super easy at the beginning, but you know, that's how they all are. Then I played a survival mode where you get all the weapons right up front, which is cool because it allowed me to at least test out the weapons, all of them right off the bat, because you don't get them in single player right off the bat. But it's fun. I only wish there was a health regeneration mod or something. I don't know if maybe there is these relics you find in levels that maybe let you change up the game, but I kind of wish there was something that could make it a bit more casual friendly, not for me, but for my father. Because I think he could really enjoy this kind of game. He loves first-person shooters, and he loves explosions and all that craziness. He loved the Unreal Tournament games, but he loved those because I could modify them so that we could play with something like rockets, one shot, one kill, and he would have a good time and feel like he's actually accomplishing stuff, whereas if it was everything set to normal, he would be getting destroyed every time and kill no one. But he could kill someone in those situations. And I wish there was more in that line. Because even on the easy mode, I played it. And I played it recklessly. And played it like I think he would. And I don't think he would really fare too well playing Doom. Because you have to melee to get health. There are health packs scattered around a level. But I don't think he would notice that. And I don't think he really thinks about melee a lot when he plays other first-person shooters. So that's my concern, that he would have to actually be focused on health. If I could get that under his head, if I could get him to realize that when the enemies glow, because it's very clear when the enemies are ready for the, I forget what it's called, but the melee that would kill them and then release health and potentially maybe ammo at times. They glow, and so it's very obvious when they're prime and ready for some melee. If I can get him to realize that and just go to those enemies and click in the right trigger, the right analog stick, he may be good to go. But I've enjoyed what I played. It feels really good. It definitely would be better with a mouse and keyboard. It's one of those fast-paced first-person shooters that still would be better with a mouse and keyboard. There aren't many these days, but Doom definitely feels like it from the little I've played. So if you have the option, if you have a fancy PC, I'd probably recommend that. And that would probably be more supported by the users in terms of map creation. Unless there, I don't know if there's cross-platform when it comes to all that. There could be, because I don't know. It'd be nice if that was the case, but I have no idea if that is the case. But yeah, now I'll just shut up and get on with the rest of the show, because I have nothing else to talk about. I was gonna like go on some diatribe, but I'm like I don't have anything to go on. So for this week in anime, I have Space Dandy and Arslan Senki to talk about. I of course have been keeping up with my weekly anime. Haven't started anything new, so I don't have anything really exciting to talk about there. All I can say is I still think this season is very meh. Overall, it's been very underwhelming. No show has stood out as something particularly great that I would recommend people go out and see. There's nothing like that. There's no Erased or Rakugo this year. I mean, this season. I'm looking at my scores right now. Not a single score over 7, other than Ushio Totora, the second season. But I'm kind of feeling like dropping that because it seems like it's taken itself a bit too serious and is being overly dramatic. Nothing wrong with making the show take a darker, more dramatic turn, but it definitely feels like it's going a bit over it just is, it's a bit crazy at times. And while no show really stands out, I still think Flying Witch is just a very delightful show, very pleasant. The music is very, very like warm and inviting. It reminds me just the very subtle piano in the background reminds me of the I guess you'd call it the theme from Forrest Gump, that beginning piano. That one. But Flying Witch is a very pleasant show. It's a great anime to watch with family because there's no ridiculous fan service. I don't think there's really any fan service at all. And there's just a lot of sweet family things going on, and it's very just calm and not too exciting or anything. It's just like I said, it's very pleasant and very very nice. Other than that though, nothing really stands out. I think like a lot of people, Sakamoto Desuga, haven't you heard? I'm Sakamoto, is fine. It can be pretty funny and amusing, but it is so poorly animated. I don't want to say it's poorly animated, it just doesn't have that much animation in it. There's a lot of still frames or a lot of cheap shots, which is fine, I guess. It gets a bit distracting because I can tell how cheap it all is. At least it looks cheap. If it is an expensive show, I don't know where all that money's going because it looks incredibly cheap. But it's funny. It's fun. It's ridiculous. But yeah, then yeah. Let's just get on to the actual shows I've been watching. So I'll start off with Space Dandy, which is the last show I just watched. Watched both seasons. And overall, I think it's an okay show that I am too old for and probably would have loved if I was 13 years old. Because it is incredibly juvenile and stupid. So many boobies jokes, all about boobies, boobies, because the restaurant Dandy likes is, of course, called Boobies, which did kind of amuse me at first just because there is a restaurant I think it's technically in Niles. I'm not sure which city it's in, but a restaurant near me called Boobies that actually makes really good roast beef sandwiches and is a decent restaurant. And I think also Hillary Clinton, when she was a youngin', used to eat there a lot, which is another little funny side note. But that kind of amused me because I know a restaurant named Boobies, so it's not like you can't have a restaurant named Boobies. But they just play it up so much, and they have their jokes like, "I'll come," Danny's talking about going to Boobies, like, "I'll come today, tomorrow, I'll come anytime," and you know what he's referring to. And those kind of jokes can really work for me at times, but sometimes it just doesn't. And I think part of it is the delivery and the tone, and Space Dandy has a very juvenile tone to it all, whereas I could more so see myself enjoying that kind of humor in a deadpan delivery. The thing about Space Dandy, when I was thinking about it not that long ago, it reminds me, specifically Dandy, the character himself, reminds me a lot of Johnny Bravo, which I loved when I was a kid. I was probably like 13 when I watched Johnny Bravo. Maybe a little younger, and I was amused the hell out of it. It just amused the hell out of me. But I don't think if I went back and watched Johnny Bravo today that I would really like it. And I think that's the same with a Space Dandy. Though I will say there are some really good episodes. Overall, the music is really good, and there are these two musical-themed episodes that are really, really good that I actually enjoyed from start to finish. Nothing about them annoyed me. One is Space Dandy, the transfer student, or however they title it. And then the other one is where he creates a band with this other guy who is actually a king or the leader of this country or whatever. And those two episodes are really, really good because the music was great, and I don't even know what else. It just didn't feel as, oh, boobies, boobies. It didn't feel as juvenile. It felt like it was more focused on what was going on in the actual episode, the story of the episode, and not just being stupid and silly. It's also very pretty. There's a lot of color to it, a lot of crazy animation and wacky stuff going about that's great to watch. It's a very visually splendid show. But it's just not a great show content wise in terms of the story and everything. And even the characters, it's like I got kind of sick of it. I watched the dub, which is pretty good overall, except for what is his name, the little robot. There's also a cat who I should like, QT. I think they lessened it as the show went on and would only bring it out at certain points, or maybe it was all the time and I just kind of got used to it, but it was really annoying at first. QT's voice is put through like an auto-tune filter and it's like wow, and it's just like God. And that's another thing that just kind of annoys me in general. There are a lot of referential jokes, and a lot of pop culture and things of that nature that certain people will really love. I don't. I'm not a fan of referential humor when it's done so often, when it's overly done, and it was really pushed heavy in Space Dandy. It's part of why I don't have any desire to ever read Ready Player One, because I don't need a book to pander to my nostalgic feelings or whatever. But yeah, Space Dandy, there's two seasons of it, 13 episodes each. You can watch it on Funimation. Probably means you can watch it on Hulu. Yeah, there is a dub. Dub's not too bad, other than, and this could be in the Japanese vocal voice work too, but that auto-tuning-ness is just blah, blah. And then the other show I watched, Arslan Senki, which is a deeply political show where this prince, Arslan, he goes to battle and then he gets all caught up in all this stuff and people trying to overthrow this one government and free these slaves, but are they really trying to free them? And he, with a small group of people, start to build their own army to take back what has been stolen from them and then change the government. It's a very political show. I don't want to get too into it because of, you know, potential spoilers and all that. And it's a fairly new show, so, you know, people may have missed it. I missed it. There was recently released a game for PS4 and Xbox One that I don't know if it ties directly into the story, if it's like an off story, a side story. But I was genuinely surprised by it. I thought it did a really good job of having a politically driven story about war and slavery and a lot of different issues, and didn't make it so black and white. Of course, Arslan is very kind of pure and innocent, and he's kind of good through and through, and sometimes to a fault, where he should maybe be a little bit more aggressive or just not such of a pushover. But everyone else, they have things about them that are kind of good, but then they also have things about them that are bad, and their troops who have doubt, and there's just a lot of stuff going on in it, and it doesn't say these guys are definitively the bad guys and these guys are definitively the good guys. Of course, Arslan, he is the good guy, but there are more than just him versus, you know, this one group. There are multiple groups going on and infighting, and it's just really well done. It is 25 episodes, so it's a long show. I mean, Space Andy was a long one too, but Arslan Senki was really well done, and I think I'm trying to think if there was any character I didn't like. I really enjoyed all the characters, and they didn't overly do the enemies, the various antagonists, and they had a lot of gray area in some of the protagonists. There were these characters who were on the outside, and you really didn't know where they were going to go. So it was just a really good, thorough, fully fledged anime story about this political, I was going to say snafu, but political drama. Really, it's just really good, and I highly recommend checking it out. That's also on Funimation, which of course means it's also probably on Hulu. And the dub is really good too. Other than that, like I said in the beginning, just keeping up with weekly, trying to see if maybe I should dabble in some of the other shows I haven't watched at all. But there's only so much time, right? It's been yet another fairly uneventful week for gaming with me, because I am not someone who goes out and buys everything, and I just got some codes in for some games, but I haven't had the time to play them. But when I say I just got them, I mean last night, and I haven't had any time to play them. But I have been playing a few games. One of them is not Doom, because I am getting that in from Gamefly, and a Gamefly package came in the mail yesterday, and I thought it was Doom, but you know what it was? It was Need for Speed Underground, because they decided to send me two games for a change, maybe to try and entice me into changing my plan, or because of a loyalty thing. Whatever. Don't care about that. I was super excited. And then I was super bummed out, and hopefully the Doom will come today. It seems weird because I got the notification that Doom was shipping out a day before the notification that I was also getting Need for Speed, and I was really confused at the time, thinking, wait, did they accidentally ship me out two games? But no, it's on the website and all that. I didn't want Need for Speed to be in there. I was like, there's no way this is Need for Speed. Since there's only one here today, it's definitely Doom. But it wasn't Doom. What I have been playing, though, is not Need for Speed. I did not play that because I'm like, I don't want to play this. I decided to go back and play Uncharted 2, which which I think is Among Thieves. I think that's the subtitle. Doesn't really matter. But the thing, and I went back because Uncharted 4 just came out, as everyone knows, and the story is not that fresh in my mind. I also barely played any of 3, and I played the first one not that long ago, and I started the second one and just stopped for whatever reason, and I figured I might as well play through this one and 3 before playing 4, because 1, I'm not going to buy 4 anytime soon. I'm not paying $60 for it. And Redboxing it doesn't really make sense for me, just in the way I game and how much time I have for gaming. So, yeah, anyway, Uncharted 2. The thing about Uncharted 2 is it really doesn't hold up as well as I thought it was going to. The story is still great. I really, really like Chloe still. I remember liking her a lot when I first played the game, and I still like Chloe. She may not have a heart of gold, but she's a really cool character. I like her. You know, she's got shades of gray. I don't think she has 50 shades of gray, but she has a number of shades of the color gray. So the story's really good. The visuals are an improvement, but still they are dated, as the game is quite old at this point, but they don't look terrible. What it lacks in texture quality and fine detail, it makes up for with just a lot of variety and a lot of clutter. There's a lot of stuff going on in the environments, and the environments in particular look really good. The people, the characters, they don't look that great. Nathan Drake, of course, looks great, but everyone else kind of looks a bit off. Especially, why can't I think of her name right now? The one he likes. It's because I like Chloe, and the other one not as much. I always want to call her Ellie, but I know that's The Last of Us, and she's not Elise. And I also think of the actress and her name, but it's not that. What's her name? What's her name? L, let's just, I don't know, the blonde one. Her face looks significantly less detailed, or maybe it's just me, than the other characters and cutscenes and whatnot. And I think that's weird. It makes me feel like she was an afterthought. She's just like this side character when she's a very crucial part of the whole story and everything. But whatever. But like I was saying, the visuals, the people don't look that great, but the environments look really good. There's a lot of variety, there's a lot of stuff going on, there's a lot of detail. But what doesn't hold up at all and is very, very not good, not fun, is the shooting. And this is my problem with the Uncharted series from, all of them. Golden Abyss, what I played of Uncharted 3. The actual combat, the actual gameplay is not that great. Climbing around, it's functional, but it's not super interesting because you're just going across a linear path. There's a very distinct path you can take, and you can tell because it'll be different colors, or all these rocks have formed in such a way that you can only climb this way, and that gets not tedious, but it takes away a bit of the excitement because you're not really doing it. You're just moving around. It's like an interactive cutscene. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too old and jaded at this point. But that part has never been that exciting, and the shooting is awful. The shooting stands out as particularly bad in Uncharted 2 over Uncharted 1 because, from my memory, Uncharted 1 had a lot of annoying bits where you'd fight a decent amount of enemies, but there wouldn't be such a large influx of enemies, and they wouldn't keep respawning. You wouldn't have to fight off an incredible amount of, like, in Uncharted 2, there are moments in the game where you are in a firefight, and they send in 5+ waves of enemies, and it is just an absolute nightmare because the shooting does not feel good, it's not fun. I don't feel like I have as good enough control over it all. I don't feel like the controls are accurate enough. It just is not fun. It's really bad. And I wonder when they made the game, it's like, who thought this was a good idea to keep sending this many waves if it was not as. It's just a nightmare to get through. There's one section when you're in a train yard, which really is just you trying to live long enough for the blonde to get there in time so that you can run away with her. Not run away with her, so you can reach the train. But that's an annoying bit. There's so many annoying bits whenever shooting is involved. But there doesn't seem to be as much shooting in between, which is nice. Another funny thing, though, is the very beginning of the game, Drake is very concerned about killing people. He doesn't want to kill anyone, and they kind of make it seem like, oh, maybe you won't have to. There's going to be a stealth element, which actually worked rather well, though that's in large part because the enemy AI seemed incredibly stupid and unable to see you unless you were about 10 feet away from them, which makes it so that it won't be frustrating and having to constantly restart and all that, but then also makes it just seem very stupid and kind of like, what's the point of this? They don't see anything. I can just do whatever I want. But I am getting close to the end of the game. I just passed the snow village, the mountain village, and I am going to be interacting with some Yeti, who will then be Scooby-Dooed into old souped-up freaks wearing costumes because that's just where the game had to go and ruin itself. But yeah, I just think Uncharted 2 is not as great as we all remember, and I'm someone who remembered it quite fondly, and playing it now, I'm just like, yeah, the shooting sucks like I remember, but it's the rest of it is not that great either. And I think one of the funny things is, especially I think a part of why I'm not as high on Uncharted as I was, even though I was never the biggest Uncharted fan, is just because I think Tomb Raider plays so much better. I enjoy playing the Tomb Raider games way more than any of the Uncharted games that I've played. Maybe Uncharted 4 will change that. I've heard some people who didn't like the shooting in the previous games really like the shooting in Uncharted 4, but more so than not, it seems like people still aren't a fan of the shooting. So I'm concerned about that, and it makes me less excited to play it, as does playing these games make me less excited. What was I gonna, yeah, just playing the Tomb Raider games, it's made me wish the Uncharted games played like Tomb Raider, because Tomb Raider feels so much better. So much better. It's just so much fun to play. I have a blast playing the Tomb Raider games. Whereas I don't with Uncharted anything. On the opposite note, I don't give any poops about the story of Tomb Raider. Love it in Uncharted, except when it gets really, really kooky and crazy. But the banter and the interactions with all the various side characters, whether they're good guys or bad guys, really like that. And I think that's a big part of why Tomb Raider's story is not that good, is because in Uncharted, it's not just Nathan Drake. He has Chloe, he has good villains always. He has the blonde, he has Sully, he has his brother in Uncharted 4, and Lara Croft has no one. She has her little group in the first one, and they're okay. And that like Weasley guy who was the head of their expedition. And then in the second one, she really has no one. She has this guy who's the leader of this tribe, which he's okay, but he's not in it that much. And then you have her like Hawaiian or Samoan friend who is in it just at very brief moments. But yeah. Also, one last thing about Uncharted. I enjoy watching the set pieces when they happen because they're very cool. It's amazing to see like all these things going on on screen, but I also realized that they're just kind of big interactive cutscenes and nothing more. I don't really have to be playing them because I'm not doing anything. Everything's set in stone already. It just gives it a more exciting feel because you feel like you're interacting with it and you feel like you have some control over it. Whereas if it was a cutscene, you'd just be like, I'm sitting here watching this. But if it was a cutscene, you would never accidentally die or die for stupid reasons, then have to go through it all over again, which is the downfall of these set pieces. It's just that they have a certain time limit usually, and if you don't know the exact path you have to go, if you're being chased by something or doing something, then you can be experience them over and over and over again, which takes away from the initial excitement and cool factor of it all. But other than Uncharted 2, I can't remember anything else I've played other than the Nintendo Badgercade, which is that 3DS crane game, which I don't know how to feel about it. I like the game because it makes me think of, I don't know if they had one before this, but it just makes me think of Kirby's Adventure, which had a mini game where you could collect little tiny Kirby dolls and then a big one for one-ups. And I really enjoyed it in that game, and that's what it's like in here. And I do enjoy it, but it's kind of weird that it's just $1 for 5 tries. Pay real money. You can get free ones maybe if you pick a one of the ones in the practice thing. You get for free each and every day. But I don't know. There's part of me that could easily just spend. I could spend so many dollars in this game. I could see myself doing, but it's just weird. I wish there was more ways of getting free tries. You know, whether it was, oh, watch this video or just do something that gives me more free tries, because the only real way to do it is there will occasionally be some promotion and they'll give them away, or you play the practice round, which you get to play once per day. And you can get it, but I feel like they cheat in that, and I rarely ever get it, so that's annoying. But yeah, that's a thing I've been playing, quote unquote. But I don't know how much longer I'll be playing that, because I'm thinking about taking some stuff over to the local children's hospital, and my 3DS is one of the things I'm looking to take over, because I'm just kind of I'm almost like in a midlife crisis surrounding gaming and stuff and other things too, but like I'm kind of really sick of Nintendo at this point. The last straw happened where I just let myself get overly excited about something and I knew I shouldn't have, and like I expected, because this is what happens in most cases, it just all fell through and I kind of just don't care anymore. And I don't think Nintendo cares about me either. They're not concerned about me, the kind of gamer I am, so why should I care about them? And it's super frustrating, 'cause I'm at this point where I'm like, I want to do two equally insane things. I want to spend way too much money on something I shouldn't, and on the opposite note, I want to just completely throw away everything Nintendo related. I just want to completely remove them from my life, and I don't know what to do. I know what I should do, and that is stay in the middle. Don't get crazy either way. Just ignore both sides of it and live my life, not concerning myself over something so stupid. But that's the way I am. I'm someone who is, I don't know, not easily frazzled or whatever, but when I get my mind set on something or other, my mind gets set on it until something stupid happens. But that's pretty much it, gaming-wise. I've been playing the Gems of War as always, getting crazy with that. I don't know, I'm like level 200 and whatever. My guild is not so hot anymore. We're still at like rank 140 something, but I boot members if they haven't been active for 2 weeks, so we're going to be down to 8 after today. And there's no real good way to add people. And I don't know, nobody's been just joining randomly, so whatever. That's it, games-wise. I also did play a little bit more Shovel Knight. I was playing about a boss or two every day, and then I just took a break from it. Still really enjoying it. Music's fantastic. Love the variety. Love the creativity in the levels. They really did a great job of putting so much in there and so many different ways of playing and making each and every level feel truly like its own thing. You know, having mechanics that are only for that level. And there's a lot of creativity in it. It's really, really fun. I'm not sure what their next game is, the studio who made it, but I'm excited for it. Shovel Knight is super, super, super fun. And it really is that Nintendo game that when you were a kid, you thought to yourself, I wish somebody would make a game where they took this from this game, this from that game, this from these other games, and put it all into one awesome, incredible game. And that's sort of what Shovel Knight is. It's all these great elements from various games smashed into one, and somehow they managed to make it all work and work really, really well. So kudos to them for making something awesome. You know, I would feel more comfortable in having them be the president, because I think they'd be better at making America great again than Donald Trump. Donald Trump's a freaking piece of garbage.
He's a ninja! Shing.
And that will do it for this here episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Once again, I am your host, Mark Kuznets. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Vine, Periscope. I deleted Snapchat. My anime list, Xbox Live, all the usual places, at PX Sausage. That is at PX Sausage. On PSN, I'm the Kush 3. That is the KUSH number 3. And that is it in terms of where you can find me. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast and two other podcasts, including Pixelated Radio, which I co-host with Rob, Corey, and Rich. And that one's all about the video games. And then there is the newly launched, the very first official episode went live and is now on iTunes and all the usual places, the Pixelated Paranormal podcast with Rich, Sean, and Preston, which you should definitely check out if you're into the world of paranormal. And not part of the Pixelated Network, but a good show regardless. You should definitely check out the Sports Car Unleashed podcast, which is hosted by Rich and company. I'm talking very, very weird in this end of the show bit. Super weird. But that is a Sports Car Unleashed podcast, which you can find at scunleashed.com. With all the podcasts, you can find them. I can't speak for SC Unleashed. But with Pixelated Sausage Podcast, Pixelated Radio, and the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast, you can find all of them on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the Google Play Store, Player FM, and if none of those places sound really good to you, you can just take the RSS feed, which you can find a link to in the show notes. You can just take that and dump it wherever you want, except the toilet, even though the show would probably be at home in the toilet. Anyway, anywho, and if you haven't already, do rate, review, and subscribe to the shows on iTunes, because that really does help. And tell your friends about the show, because that helps too. And, you know, do things that help the show, unless you hate it. So why are you listening? Just don't give us a bad review, because if you hate the show, just leave it alone. No need to tell people about it. Yeah, hope everyone's having a great week. I'm excited, super excited for the Nice Guys to come out this weekend, because love Shane Black, love Ryan Gosling. I think this looks like the next, it's like the spiritual successor to Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. So super excited about that. Anyway, that's it. Adios, everyone. Bye bye. Do you like Pixelated Sausage?
Do you like sausage? Do you like pixelation? Do you like it when sausage is pixelated? Do you like this podcast? Do you like pixelated radio? Do you like other things that have pixelated and sausage in the name somewhere? Do you like me? Do you like the other people who work at Pixelated Sausage? Do you like the fact that I said work even though no one gets paid? Well, if you do like any of that stuff, you can support the site, the podcast, whatever you want, by chipping in a few bucks every month over at patreon.com/pxs. That is, once again, patreon.com/pxs. A few months, yes, a few months a buck really goes a long way, but a few bucks a month goes an even longer way.